I want to be very, very clear with everybody out there. Very clear. I'm not here for the needs of the Haitians. I'm not here to empower them. I'm here to give them Jesus Christ, who will give them eternal life, which is a lot better than what I can give them. My name's Tony Jones. I'm a disciple for Christ here in Grand Guave, Haiti. When I went to the mountains, I was the first white guy they'd ever seen. We got 20 missions in town and none up there. Now, to give you an idea, we go up at that time on my motorcycle for 2.5 hours, and then we had another 3-hour donkey ride to get to this area. They'd never seen a missionary. I was really taken back when I asked the children about Jesus. And I asked him, "Ukoni Jezi, do you know Jesus?" And they were like, "Who's that?" And they said, "Do you mean Jab?" And it's the first time I heard Jab. And I asked the marriage director, I said, "Jab?" I said, "What is Jab?" "Oh, Tony, that's the devil. That's the devil in Creole." And I said, well, why are they saying that?" He said, "Tony, you're in the land of voodoo." And I go, "Voodoo? I didn't even really know about it." He said, "These people all practice voodoo. They don't know the Lord." And I just, right instantly, I said, "Now I know why you got me up here, Lord." So the deal was, what I would do is pay the teachers, but first and foremost, the kids had to hear the gospel every morning before they started school. And that is how I started to disciple the mountain kids. Well, you know what? When the children went home, they were different after about, it took about 1.5 years before I saw really good fruits. But now these little children are going home, and their voodoo parents are catching them praying in the morning, praying at night. And they wanted to know what this was all about. The women, the mothers were really curious. What are these kids doing? They noticed their kids weren't fighting with them anymore. They noticed their kids were actually listening to them. They weren't being desert, as they call it here. They weren't being crazy. They weren't going and stealing out of gardens anymore. And the mothers would ask them. And they would say, "Oh, Jesus, He doesn't like us to do that. We're not going to do that." And I can remember, because the Haitian people are very aggressive with their children. Life is so hard up there. They got to take it out on somebody, and they take it out on their children. They're you can't imagine. They've never been loved. And they would be getting beaten. And they would say, "I forgive you, Mom. I'll never forget the testimony of the children." And what happened was, the mothers started to come to school in the morning. They wanted to see what was going on. These mothers are there, and they're holding on, and they're listening to these stories. And the next thing you know, the mothers are getting saved because of children's books. And I knew that's why God had me up there. And that's how we reached the mountain people, through those little books. Through those little books. It's amazing. I can tell you, from being here 11 years, seeing the billions and billions and billions of dollars that come in here to corrupt politicians, to corrupt businesses, to corrupt NGOs, to corrupt missions. The only thing that will effectively win the war against poverty, disease, injustice, and hunger is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So one day I was coming up to the school. I noticed one of the women I know, and on her donkey she had this sack of beans. I knew the red bean, the black bean. I knew all the beans they grew, but I didn't recognize this bean. And I asked her, "What is this?" And she said, "Oh, it's coffee." And I didn't even know they grew coffee up here. This is in 2008. So what I did was I looked at it, and I just had a hunch And I bought 3 pounds off her, and I sent it to a Christian roaster back in Canada. And I said, Dave, try this coffee, tell me what you think. I just want you to tell me if it's a good coffee or not. And in 2 weeks, he emailed me back, and he knew everything about the coffee. He said, Tony, you got Haitian Mountain Blue coffee. It's a blue bean coffee. It's the best they grow. Send me a container. And I went, what? I couldn't believe it. I know nothing about coffee. I went back to the families. We gathered all of them together, and I said, bring your donkeys full of coffee. I'm going to buy it. And that's how we started the coffee business. I think as the body of Christ and brothers and sisters in the Lord, I think we need to look at missions totally different than we have. This is one thing why I walked out of 4 missions. I just couldn't understand how they operated. Basically, they rely on donors, donations, churches, brothers and sisters to send them money. And what do? They just hand it out. And they do feeding programs, and they hand everything out. And what they do is they create a begging society. Haiti has got to be one of the largest begging societies I have ever seen, because we've given them handouts. So now they expect it. So instead of that, why not go to the mountain people, get them to plant coffee, buy their coffee. I'm still getting the money, but they're making a living from me buying it from them. And it's a win-win situation. I don't want to burden churches for money. I don't want to burden brothers and sisters for money. But if you drink coffee, I want you to drink the coffee that we're buying direct from the families, that sustains the families and helps me bring the gospel to this country. Every cup, we're reaching souls one cup at a time, as I say.